you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
All right, okay. We're recording.
All right, guys. Hey, recording. Welcome back to Between the Reps, Between the Weps with Book and Gina.
Book and Gina.
I'd first like to apologize for the last episode.
You don't need to apologize for anything.
Oh, man.
No, never apologize.
That, painful. Painful.
You never need to apologize.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. I texted you right after. I tried to listen because I couldn't remember what we said.
You didn't text
for
me.
For good reason.
I was completely. You didn't text me. You came in my room.
No. I texted you after I started listening to it.
Oh, yeah.
And all I said was, I can't even listen after the first like 10 minutes.
You're like, I'm so annoying.
I'm so annoying. I don't know how you can be friends with me. I'm so annoying when I'm drunk. And I think I said, I'm never getting that drunk ever again.
Lies.
I know.
I know. The best is, so the next morning after we recorded that podcast, Gina comes in, like we had woke up and she comes in and she goes, I don't think we can post that. And I was like, no. I'm like, listen, I sent it to Devin and I'm having her listen to it and let us know, like, is it a go or is it a no?
Yeah.
And I did send it to her. She responds. I was talking to her and she goes, well, she was dying laughing. I guess her son was doing school in the room next door in their house.
Uh-huh.
And he kept getting pissed at her because she was laughing so hard.
Well.
But she said, she's like, well, you know, it's nothing bad. But if you guys, like, if you're okay with people really, like, knowing your humor
and how drunk you were,
then yeah, you should post it. So we sent it. There were some comments on the YouTube video. Oh yeah. And if you haven't seen the YouTube video, it's pretty good.
Don't watch it. Don't watch it.
There were some comments. One was saying, you know, someone noticed that there was something edited out and we sent it off to Mark to listen to it, to proof it, to make sure
it wasn't anything
that was going to be against the FCC guidelines it's called. And he said nothing was too bad, but he had to edit out a couple sentences that were really dirty and they were about cocks. And we're sitting here and I'm thinking, what did we say?
Yeah, we have no idea.
No idea.
No idea. We're going to have to listen to the unedited one to figure it out.
Must have been pretty bad. That didn't make the cut.
I know.
With everything else that made the cut.
Oh yeah. Some guy commented on the YouTube and said something about, I just want to have Gina watch this
the last three minutes
and see her reaction. Well, guess what? I wanted to crawl under the chair.
We were at the airport
and we saw that comment and we're like, what is it? So we're like watching it.
I was crying laughing.
Oh my gosh. I am so annoying. And what's so funny is that the whole time, like the next day I was like, how did I get so much more drunk than you guys? And then after watching some of it, well, I'm drinking out of a champagne bottle the entire time. Cause I kept thinking, I mean, we've all just had the exact same amount. I mean, why am I so drunk? I mean, why am I slurring? I was just a mess. I was passing out.
Well, even you said you were slurring, but Devin said you actually aren't slurring as much as you as thought, I thought you I was. Were.
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, you messed up words, but you weren't slurring them.
I was a wreck. And then I'm just cracking up because when I take my headphones off and then my hair's, I'm a mess. I'm a mess.
She had a full tantrum at the end.
I did. Oh, I'm a child. I'm a child in an old body.
I love it.
I know. I love you.
I'm your biggest fan. You are. Wait, I talked about it with you. I am your biggest fan.
I know. This is so funny. I got drunk and
we were drunk
and we were getting ready for bed. Brooke ended up spending the night because she'd had too much to drink. She wasn't going to drive. And I don't know what I was thinking, but she videotaped me and I've got my shirt up over my head and singing this song.
Should I play the audio?
Oh God.
I'm going to play the audio.
Like I need more embarrassment.
I feel like everyone it's should so watch the good. Video from but, yesterday with the like face dude. Light.
Oh yeah. Well, there's that too.
That was a pretty good.
Yeah, there's that too.
That Daniel did.
Yeah. Yeah.
It might actually be already Bluetooth to the thing.
Oh my gosh.
Let's see if it is.
Oh my
God. I don't know. I got a lot of accessories on. I not only got a headband, but I got a cool shirt and some sweats on. I don't know.
Oh my God.
The shirt so tiny.
I know.
You look, that's a really good, that's a good look for you.
I'm also Quasimodo. Got a contract.
I set myself in the tooth. No, but the funniest thing about it is the next morning, Brooke goes home and she sends me the video and all she puts is never forget. And I go, I already forgot. I didn't even remember I did that. And then the best part, she knows the song. This is how you know that. This is how I know she's my biggest fan.
She's watching
and singing every
often.
Time. Yeah. Every time she's like,
singing all
she's
the
like,
time.
We're at the gym and she just keeps like watching it and then singing with it. And I'm like, you know the words to my song that I made up?
Yeah, because you were pointing it out because I was showing DJ. I was showing Daniel the video and I was singing.
I know, you're
it.
Like singing along every time. Oh my gosh. So funny. Good. Anyway, so that was interesting. I mean, we, you know, mission accomplished. Said we were gonna do a drunk podcast and we did it.
Yeah, we'll probably do it again.
I'm not getting that drunk. There's no way. There's no way.
Someone had mentioned on the comments on the YouTube video was they wanted us to do a bad movie review.
Oh,
drunk.
That could be pretty funny.
Right?
Oh, I can't hear Nikki.
By the way, should we introduce that? Everyone's like, who's this girl sitting on the couch?
Some weirdo.
Yeah, total weirdo. She followed us here.
Our friend Nikki Patel is in town and we're having her on the podcast to chat. And also we wanted to talk to her about her experience at the CrossFit Games.
Yeah.
So fun.
That was last year, right?
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah.
And then this year happened. What happened?
Oh, I don't know. I wasn't going to ask.
Honestly,
you
I don't
didn't
know.
Go?
Yeah. Did it happen? Did they have a CrossFit game?
Did they do the same form? I mean, I don't even know.
It was all
at
online,
first,
right?
They did.
Oh.
You have to awkwardly talk into the microphone.
Yeah, my bad.
There you go. No, it's okay.
To be really close to it.
Yeah, you got
to
like almost eat it.
We're going to invest in some headphones that have a mic on it.
Like I just want to look like Britney Spears. Yeah.
Oops, I did it again.
God.
I just hit myself in the tooth again. Oh, man.
You know what I love about that just now?
What?
You sang in our last podcast and you were like, oh my God, I sang.
Well, it was after I'm singing 9 to 5 that I was like, I can't listen to this anymore. This is awful.
Oh, I know that song.
It was horrible.
I just love
it. Oh, so I did it again.
I just love that you just
oops,
sang
I did
again.
It again. Actually, oops, I sang again. I apologize.
Okay.
Okay. All anyway, right. So.
Nikki.
Yes.
Last year was your first year going to the CrossFit Games.
Yeah.
Just, I guess,
tell us about your journey.
Tell us and tell us and our listeners and our viewers about, I guess, what you were doing before, where you lived, where you moved, kind of like the build up to your experience there.
Give
and
us
then,
the rundown.
And then talk about your
the
experience
whole story.
There. Yeah.
Here, wait, which one's her mic? Air that talk. One. Hello.
There we go.
Whoa. Okay.
Whoa. Hey. Whoa, Gina.
Okay.
Heavy handed.
I know. Well, I just want to make sure. Okay. All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was loud.
Well, now you decided to actually hold it up to your face.
It's just because the mic was down here and now it's right here.
I know, but I was just, okay. Anyway,
all right, guys, we're going now.
So I moved to Israel 4 years ago, almost, a little less actually. And I didn't actually move to compete or to train or anything like mm-hmm. that. I finished my degree at San Jose State. And then I just wanted to travel. I was like, get me out of school. Uh-huh, I wanted right to do something. And then I got super into CrossFit there. They had this like competitive team at one of the gyms that I happened to drop into. And I don't know ever. And then I had a plane ticket actually back to the States. I want to say almost like half a year later. And I flew back. And then I remember I was telling my mom and my dad, I was like, I think I want to go back.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not ready to be back in Santa Cruz yet.
Right. Because you grew up here, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, but you have family in Israel.
Yeah. I have my grandma on my mom's side. And then I have a lot of cousins from both sides, actually. But a lot of my family actually is here too. Like my mom's side of the family is a little more here in LA, I guess. But yeah. So it was really nice. I've been staying with my grandma, and that's some like quality time that.
Oh yeah.
I don't know, you can't compare it to anything.
No, yeah, right. That's so
yeah.
great.
Yeah,
all the like cool. weird recipes, you know, that grandma's.
Uh huh. Yeah, I learned so how to cook.
It's
like
been
her.
Really fun.
Yeah, that is yeah. fun.
So yeah, and then so I got super into CrossFit and kind of learning all the skills and teaching. I mean, I was always a personal trainer, but mm-hmm. more for like strength and conditioning because I did powerlifting before.
I have to fix it because I've read the comment from someone who, if someone's talking like this,
oh yeah,
okay, yeah.
So you
can
just
hear
have
the
to
difference.
Constantly yeah. hold it in front yeah. of your face.
Right,
I got a little relaxed.
That's
there.
Okay.
I do it all
told
the time.
You to relax, so
no, I do. Sense. I do it all the time.
And then they had competitions in Israel, kind of like they have, I guess, in Santa Cruz too, like box affiliates or competitions. But there they had also an individual one. I just stuttered so bad.
That's okay. Individual. Yeah, we got so Nikki we. Drunk for this one.
Yeah. Off of,
no, yeah. Off of, yeah, you're
soda water.
Yeah.
Crazy.
And so I actually won their Israeli championship.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Were you like, holy crap?
A little bit, yes.
Yeah. What just happened?
Because well, in Santa really, Cruz, really, I was really not
quick,
that good.
Yeah, but really quick, give your background because you did gymnastics.
Oh, yeah. So I have a...
I mean, so
I did gymnastics.
Yeah, you okay. brought an awesome base
right.
to doing CrossFit. But it yeah. just, with CrossFit, like, once you have that, it's still just going to take some time. But yeah. you can't... You don't learn or develop like that grit and that the motivation, the determination, and then the drive to just want to suffer and keep working harder yeah. and harder. You don't get that very fast. Like people that come into the sport that come from a sport, especially something like gymnastics, that like that's ingrained in you.
I think really any sport though, as long as you have a little bit of a background, because I want to say I did gymnastics till I was 13, but then after that I played water polo. And even though it's a team sport, like each individual contributes to that yeah. team. And if I'm the one slacking, my team feels it. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I have a couple sport backgrounds and some are team, some are individual. And I think in America we do a really good, or in California, I don't know about all mm-hmm. the other.
Right. Here, I can't speak for all 50
states. I can't speak
states.
For everyone. Yeah. But we have a good, like, you know, kids programs, any sports they can go to. Because from what I've noticed, at least in Israel, it's a lot harder if they're in high school or junior high, unless they're like on a competitive team, like at their schools. They, at least from what I know, they don't have like PE classes where I remember I was like in ice skating and like, you know, track and field, and we had to participate in all this in PE so we'd get a good grade. And
you had ice skating?
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
In California? In Santa Cruz?
So that was when I went to San Jose State.
Oh, okay. I'm like, where did you awesome. Ice skate? It doesn't
they
even snow
take
here.
Six activities under four different categories at San Jose State to get my degree.
Oh, got it.
And
okay.
so it was like either that or golf. And I was like, okay, ice skating sounds a little yeah. more fun.
Sounds so fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool.
But no, okay. I guess it's cool. But you still, you had, you know, we had the pool at our school. We had right. track and field right. base. I think you don't see that so much. Even in Israel, walking around, like here in Santa Cruz, you can walk, I don't know, a mile and you'd probably see like two different track and field, kind of like at Mission Hill or at Santa Cruz High. Mm-hmm. And you just don't see that in Israel as much as you do here, I guess.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Yeah. Huh.
So it's a little different growing up there.
Like what's the landscape, I guess, just the area where you were?
In Tel Aviv. Oh, so I was in Tel Aviv.
Oh, I've always wanted to go there.
It's definitely a younger crowd.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I guess I won't fit in.
Oh, I'm going to have to take Colby.
In perfectly.
Guess I'm going to have to take Colby with me.
Oh, Colby again? Colby.
Colby.
Hey, just so everybody knows, Colby is trying so hard to be Brooke's best friend, and I'm just not letting it happen. It's not going to happen. Colby. No, I mean, I know you're weaseling your way in there, but... He's I got my there. Eye on you.
She is.
I do.
Gina's ready.
Yeah. Gina's like, you better sabotage him.
You better watch him. I'm going to start rumors. Colby said that you looked so hideous in your outfit the other day.
But he fixed my CBH. Have we told them what CBH is?
I think so. Like, I don't know what that
is. Oh, we'll tell you, Nikki. Sorry. We just I totally interrupted your whole story.
It's okay.
I do that all the time.
It was my fault.
So rude. We CBH. Came up with CBH a while ago. We were in LA.
Years ago.
You came up with it, actually.
I did.
And we were always joking that, you know, when you fall asleep and you sleep wrong, and then you get up and your hair just is like, all your calic is just like this.
Yeah, everywhere.
It just looks like...
And you then can't you, fix
but you
it.
See the skin in the middle.
You can't fix it.
So we said it looks like cat's butthole.
Yeah.
Because it's just the hair around it and then just the little dot.
Yeah.
And so it's like, oh man, I got cat's butthole. And then Brooke came up with this whole thing. She's like, yeah, man, I'm just living with CBH. So we've called it CBH ever since. And so Colby starts working for her. Go ahead.
So now we've had it in front of Colby. And so we're like... embarrassed. We're like, oh, I got CBH. And so when we told Colby about it. And so now when I'm worried, I'm like, will you check in if I have CBH? Like if I don't have a mirror.
I know.
It's perfect.
When we were in Austin, I go, Colby, before. He's sitting in the back. So I go, Colby, do I have CBH? He goes, yeah.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Yeah. I was like, damn it. Mine was more like a butt crack though.
Yours did. You
dude,
have,
I mine was like almost parted completely down the back. Well, and I have extensions. So it's like as soon as it does that, you can see all my like tapes and stuff. So it's extra bad.
It was pretty bad.
Yeah. It was pretty bad. Anyway, so yes.
Living with CBH.
Sorry, go ahead.
I'm like checking my
hair. I know, yeah. You don't have it. You're
what
good.
I was wondering
good.
Is
we
like,
tell you.
Where you in Tel Aviv?
Yeah.
Is maybe would you not have as many places like tracks and fields and things like that just because of how the city's built?
No, actually, relatively speaking, it's pretty flat.
Okay. I mean,
yeah.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
You know, I see like photos, but I've never really I've
I know.
Never been there.
I know
no,
nothing.
It's pretty flat.
We're going to go there though.
She's like, no, it's flat.
Yeah, it's very flat. I take my little scooter
There's
and I go around everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, I love it.
Yeah. But so no, it's pretty flat. There's a lot more, I think, CrossFit gyms now.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of getting a little bit bigger. But in general, I think they're just a couple of years behind of where we are in California. Yeah.
In the US.
Yeah, in general, I guess.
Yeah. It's growing so much in other countries. It's kind of like it's not growing here.
Yeah.
It's like where it's going to be.
Right.
But there's still so much potential for growth in all these other countries, which is very cool and exciting, especially because you were there.
Yeah.
Are you going back there? Are you still living there?
Yeah. So I go back November 29th. I want Thanksgiving food.
Yeah.
And then I'll go back.
I want my classic Thanksgiving.
No, but they're in a crazy lockdown and I got so tired of being in my apartment. I was like, get me out of here.
Oh, I bet.
And I bought my ticket. I was like, I'm going to go surprise my brother.
I'm here.
So you go to that one event and then you win.
Yeah. It was actually like a crazy weekend.
Yeah.
It was like a 3-day event and I hate running. Uh-huh. And the first event was this like assault bike, like 150 calories, like something, I don't remember, double clean and jerk with the kettlebells. And then it was like a 3-kilometer run. And I remember the like Reebok had sponsored the event in Israel at least. And so they didn't give running shoes. They gave the like Reebok Nanos something, but it was like
the harder version of any other shoe that they've come out with. There was like one shoe that was bad somewhere in the mix over there. And I'm pretty sure that was the year it fell on. And I was running and I was like, I hate these shoes and I hate running.
I hate this.
Like, I've made a huge mistake.
I'm going to just go back now. I'm going back. I quit.
Oh, yeah. And it was, and in Israel, it's humid.
Oh.
And it's like, it was like dusty and humid. And I was running and I was like, why am I doing this?
Yeah, why did I sign up for this?
But then the other 2 days were great. Yeah. They were inside in the air conditioning.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, this is better.
Was that last year?
It was three years ago.
Okay.
Okay.
And then after that, I mean, at that point, you had been training with the team?
Yeah.
Okay.
So about like a half a year, I was training with that team. And then the competition was individual. So obviously everyone kind of competed on their own. But yeah, it was cool. It was such a fun experience because I'd never, at least in CrossFit, competed individually. Before that, I had done the CrossFit. It was at CrossFit West.
Oh, we do the affiliate.
Yeah.
Affiliate cup.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I did it with the CrossFit Santa Cruz team. And that was my first time competing in CrossFit, period.
Uh-huh.
But it was as a team.
Right.
And then there I competed individual. And then ever since then, I was like, this is awesome. I'm sticking with this.
Oh, that's so cool.
I was like, let's see where I can get.
Yeah. Well, and you got to the games. Yeah.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
So fast forward, 2019.
Yes.
I know. Like, what year is it?
2019, the format of the to qualify for the CrossFit Games changed. So they got rid of all of the regional competitions and made sanctionals.
Yeah.
And they also were doing, you'd qualify by getting, it was like top, what was it, 20 in the open?
I think so, yeah.
So top 20 in the open would qualify, men, women. I don't know if they took that many teams.
I don't know how they did the teams.
I haven't competed in teams.
Because they made it like games. Super teams.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, right.
So it was top 20 or so in the open of men and women. But then every sanctional event,
you also had a winner.
You had to win. So the men and women that won those sanctioned events would qualify. And the team, if they had team at that sanctioned event, they would qualify. And then they also took fittest in your country. So a big motivator for CrossFit Inc.
is they wanted to, I mean, already was a world, like worldwide event, right? But they wanted to start to create more of a presence for other countries at the games. And because a lot of countries are so far behind other ones, and there's only so many spots that are going for people that are going to compete at the big show, that gets really, can be really tough, right? So it was really cool for them to do that. And it's really just trying to, like, you know, bring this, make it more of a worldwide experience, because it is a worldwide event, but they wanted to, like, have the flags, have all the different people.
At regionals and stuff, you had a little bit, you had that feeling of, I mean, there you had the regions.
No, you definitely did, but then they got rid of them.
Yeah.
I was kind of pissed about that. I really loved regionals.
That was my favorite.
I was, especially our regional, California was like, it's let alone games, just the level of competition and the excitement at the California regional was insane. Terrifying.
Also terrifying.
And also terrifying. So you got fittest in your country.
Yes.
So was it fittest male and female?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
Yeah. Technically I got it this year also, but obviously they changed the format.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Again. What did they change it to? Because they had to do it
because of Corona.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Because they couldn't have that many people.
They changed it because of Corona.
Thank you.
Put it in front of your face.
So what did it look like this year? Because I did not pay attention, honestly.
So this year, wow, I think after Corona started and a couple months into it, I started not to pay attention either.
Well, yeah, as soon as they postponed, because I was going to compete, not to try to go to the CrossFit Games. I had to keep reminding people that.
Yeah.
But I was invited to compete at the
West something.
Yeah, the West Coast Classic.
West Coast Classic.
Yeah, I remember actually because Todd is my coach. Uh-huh. And he was helping you.
No, I was training over there with, I'd go over there and train with him and Marissa.
Right.
And then I also, they then were like, hey, do you want to do, there was another competition in Spain.
Yeah.
And so they were like, they made me give them my open scores. so they could see if the team would qualify.
Oh, nice.
So the team qualified for that sanctioned event. Yeah. So then I was like, okay, fine, I'll agree to it. So I agreed to that one. But then everything was postponed, and then I, you know, we were all stuck inside by ourselves for so long. I was like, why am I doing this?
Kind of how I felt.
Yeah.
Watch TV and eat.
Yep. Actually, the first couple months, I was very good about my training because I was like, I think it's still going on, and I want to do better than kind of what I did last year. And then I don't remember if it was after they postponed it or if I or there was a closure in Israel. Then it was weird. They opened back up and then they closed back down. And so I
whoopsie daisy.
Maggie laid on your cord.
Here, I'll plug you back in. There you go.
I think after that second closure, mentally, I was like, I'm dead. I have nothing.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm so tired of training by myself and like 5 hours, 6 hours in the gym all day long. Like, I was like, I'm going crazy. And because normally I'm training alone, but, you know, there's people around you.
Yeah.
And you can kind of talk and laugh and make jokes. And then all of a sudden you're training alone in a basement with no one else. Like, you're turning the lights on and off.
Yeah.
And I was just like, nah, I'm done.
Yeah. And you're
just I'm
mentally am so not there anymore.
Yeah.
Dude, that was me. It was that. And then it was like just the unknown.
Exactly.
You know? And I kept thinking, after a little while, it was like, I just thought to myself, like what am I doing it for?
That's exactly what went through my head.
And it didn't help that, like, when you're there by yourself, you're training for a possible potential, maybe they'll do the competition.
Right.
And then you're spending all the time by yourself after. It's like, then you're just sitting and you're like, no one to talk to.
I don't know what's worse, at home alone or like at the gym alone.
Yeah. Dude, both. Yeah, both. Probably equally as bad.
Yeah, it was rough. It was really good when we started doing the kids class for me, just to get me.
Oh yeah,
me,
I
her,
saw
and
that
Daniel.
You guys did that.
Yeah, because we quarantined together, and he was doing Zoom and recording the kids classes or doing Instagram Live kids classes, so me and Gina started going and doing that with him, which it was great because it got me out of my house for a minute. Did a little bit of training, and at least it wasn't a ton. I wasn't doing a training for. There's some construction going on outside.
I know. I'm having a planter box built. Yeah. So outside. There's like a drill. It's all.
We're at Gina's house because I don't have a house anymore. I'm homeless.
Yeah. Yeah. That's another story.
But yeah, it just. Yeah, and I remember I was like on Instagram, like you have. You know, a lot of like the top dogs that were just still
and they're like
just
beasting
just
it out.
Hammering it. And I was on there just being like, fuck you guys.
Yeah. Like on one hand, it's really cool. Like it's cool to see that they're mentally that strong.
Yeah. Dude, that's why they're there.
On the other hand, I guess I was like, I guess I'm not good enough.
Yeah. Like, that's just not me.
I was like, I remember I called my mom seriously crying. I was like, I don't know why I'm doing this. I'm like here at the gym and these weights that I normally lift and are easy. I'm like failing right now. Yeah. And I was like, I have zero drive to leave my house. And then, you know, it's like, and then I do leave my house and I get to the gym and I spend 2 hours like drinking coffee.
Right. Right.
I'm like, I don't want to do this. Yeah.
Yeah. One thing for a lot of people that are listening or watching and for you and for me, I had to keep reminding myself of this is like, you have to remember that what you see on social media is not true.
Of course.
It's a version of the truth.
Of course, of course. But then you watch the games that just happened and these athletes are in like the best shape that they've been in I don't know how long. Maybe not as good, some better, but it's crazy to think like for me I had to take like a month to just do stuff that was fun for me.
Well, mm-hmm. It's the same. And but again, you have to remember this, like the people that were there, that's how many people in comparison to who normally build the CrossFit games.
Yeah.
Right.
And those people live in a place with people around them constantly at their own home gym.
That's true.
It's like, it really didn't change much for them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Cause they don't, and that's reality. And that's like, that's very cool that they have that, but it's like for other people that are training to do that, to get there. And you know, to keep working, it just may not be, it's not that easy.
It's not easy.
It's not guaranteed to be set up like that for everybody. And they, even for them, they're going to have, they have days that are hard.
Of course.
That they're not feeling it, that things don't feel great or they're not into it for sure. And I guarantee all of them went through a similar mental
battle
when things were really unknown and weird.
Yeah.
Well, you know, but then when you add in like your circumstance, your environment and how much of your surroundings is set up in a way for your success where you don't have to leave your home or where you're at, that won't make your whole life change so much. But when your life is like you have a gym you go to, like I go to West was shut down. Now I only have a couple kettlebells at my house. I'm trying to do stuff at my house, but what am I going to, like, I can only do so much. It's, you know, you're put in a situation where, and you're by yourself and I live by myself and I don't have, you know, things are shut down. It's just, it is, it's like, it was like depressing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I felt really lucky cause I was able to still get to my gym cause I was a coach there. So, we had the privilege of being able to be there. But for all my clients and a lot of like my friends that I had in classes that, you know, not just personal clients, but like people that came to any of my classes, I was like, wow, what are they going to do? And so I also started posting. At first I was doing workouts like where I would kind of do it with them. And then I started just posting like demos of the exercises so they would know what skill I was talking about. And then I would just be like, here's the intro of like what this workout is, like have fun. And I saw a lot of people were like, please post more.
Right.
Like, we want to see these workouts. Right. And I was like, okay. Like, yeah. I mean, it takes a long time to video and of all people you probably know.
Yeah. Yeah. I eventually hired
somebody. I'm a horrible editor, but I try.
Yeah.
I eventually hired Colby because I was like, I'm not getting anything done.
So I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
Maybe one day.
I remember.
You're on your way.
I was thinking to myself like, man, I don't have a live-in videographer anymore. So I know I need to, you know, do stuff and like even for Instagram or just like workout videos and things like that. So I remember I had got a new laptop and I bought, what's that program? Yeah, I bought a program for editing. Mm. And I remember one time I got my video on and I was like starting to like fuck with it. And I was like, No, I've just got to hire somebody. <I can't. laughs> This is not for me. I don't have the time or patience to learn how to do this.
Nope. Forget it.
Well, luckily, I mean, I haven't been posting anything that crazy, but it's like little clips and I add the text in and...
No, so I've seen all your videos. Yeah. They're great.
But so I try and do like little workouts for people to do at home. And that I was like, how, what's the one way I could help someone with like, you know, with what I have access to? And if they only have a dumbbell, I was like, I know I have access to more, but say I was only at home, like what would I do?
Right.
So.
Yeah. Cause so many people have, you know, don't even have equipment.
No.
Well, and then with all the COVID stuff, oh my God.
Maggie's being hung.
You know, so and then there were so many places that were sold out of equipment.
Oh, that was crazy. I've sold all of my equipment.
Oh wow.
Pretty much.
Yeah, a lot
you didn't
of it.
Want to keep any
well,
of it?
I had she has some of it. I had oh. so I had an office and my plan was to build out a big gym in there. Mm. And then that would be a place for filming, that'd be a place for me to train with my friends.
Right.
And then also all of like my sponsor stuff would be shipped there, all my Enswear stuff would be there. I could do you know, photos there for clothing.
Yeah, and that was right next to the Fit Aid place.
Yeah, and so I ended up closing it down, and because I couldn't afford that and my mortgage on my house, you know, divorces.
Fun.
What I did was I had already got a big wall-mounted rig.
Oh yeah.
And all the matting and everything, and I ordered enough plates so I could like deadlift heavy with you know 2-3 friends. Well, I put everything in storage. And then I went and I took some of the plates, couple dumbbells, couple kettlebells to my house. But I don't have a pull-up bar. I don't have a squat rack, nothing like that. And just through quarantine, I mean, everything was completely sold out. And I was realizing like, I don't have, people were asking too, like, are you selling any of your equipment? Cause, actually I had an old storage unit and it's at Nico's. So Gina's ex, and he was letting me know, are you selling any of this? Cause I have some friends who would love to buy it. He had one friend who his son was getting ready to be playing really high level baseball, some college. Cool. Yeah. So he was needing to be training before he went off to school. But you couldn't get any equipment and there's no gyms open and all this. So I sold him. I was like, I can sell you this women's bar. I'm like, I know it's not a men's bar, but I sold him a bar.
That's probably better.
I sold him
nothing.
Plates, bands. A bunch of stuff. And then I just started just selling stuff because I'm like, cause now, West had opened up with distancing. And I'm like, I can always, when I have a home, I don't even have anywhere to put any of the equipment. I might as well sell it to people who need it. Cause they can't get it anywhere.
Right.
And, now I still have a couple kettlebells and a barbell and a couple dumbbells and a bench.
And
I got rid of pretty much everything else. I took all my mats to West.
Well, this is Brooke too. She's moving out of her house. She's moving out of her house. And every single thing she goes, I'll just get rid of it. I don't have a house. I'll just get rid of it. And then like down to like dishes. I'll just donate them. I don't want to deal with it. I'm like, Brooke, you have to keep some stuff.
Oh, my furniture is so like, expensive. Do you want it?
Yeah. The people that bought the house came in.
Oh yeah.
And they had to come in and have something measured before they moved in. And so Brooke let them come and, you know, bring their contractor. And so they're like, oh, I love that couch. You want it? You want to buy it? You want this rug? You want this? I mean, she's literally, I'm like, keep some stuff.
I'm like, it is going to be so
much for your new house.
No, because she, but in her mind, she's like, I don't have a house right now. I'm really frustrated.
I'm trying to pack up my house.
Take it all.
I'm trying to pack up my house and move it. But, you know, me and Gina.
Put it in a storage shed.
And store it. And I'm like, you know, it's just going to be sitting there. I don't know when I'm going to have a house again. Can't buy one. So you guys want to take all my shit?
Yeah. And this is the best part too. We're moving Brooke's stuff out little by little. And, you know, so of course she enlists her strongest friend to help her, myself. And so we had borrowed, my family's business has a big box van with a lift gate thing in the back.
Oh, snap.
And so she had borrowed it. And so, you know, you can get everything to the lift gate and then it pops it up and then you take it in and same thing. So we had loaded everything up. We had her big old heavy kitchen table and all of a sudden, and it's so funny because, you know, when you're both getting ready to lift. You know, she's, are you ready? Are you okay?
<She's>
like, I'm like over there just like, okay, okay, I need to rest a second. Okay. You know, you inch a little bit. Anyway, so we get everything to her storage and the lift gate isn't working.
It's almost just, like a battery. It just like quit working.
Well, the electrical, just something happened. And yeah. So then we're, you know, I don't know how far up. It's pretty, I mean, it's pretty tall.
It's probably
it's
like
a good jump down.
4 feet.
Yeah, maybe more.
Off the ground, 5 feet.
So we're trying to get this table and you should, I wish we'd had a video of it. we've got it hanging over the edge of the truck. She's underneath it. And then she's like, okay, now come hold it here. So I'm holding it there. And then she's almost like cleaning it, trying to get up underneath it, jump down. I mean, it was just.
This is why we do CrossFit.
Oh man.
Yeah, it's functional, man. I'll tell you that. But yeah, so
I don't even know what we were moving. What were we moving when I was holding it and you got off and I walked forward and then I held it and I
sat. That was the
down.
Kitchen table. That's what I'm talking about. It was the kitchen table. You were underneath it. It was like her legs were hanging off the edge of the truck and the top of the table's sitting on her. Then she's lifting it up and the whole time I'm just over there like this. Just like, oh shit. This is coming down.
We got all of it out though.
We did.
That's pretty impressive.
Got it put in and then it was like, all right, now we have like 3 or 4 more trips.
I know. Oh, never ending. Well, it's all done now.
All done.
Kind of reminds me of my move to Israel.
Oh,
I had
man.
Like 3 suitcases and I was like one person trying to migrate the 3 suitcases.
Oh, right.
Oh man.
I know. But yeah, so Brooke is homeless now. She's
Me and Maggie are living at Gina's.
Yeah.
That sounds like the best duo. Trio,
actually,
I guess.
Actually, it's fun.
It is.
We've talked about it. Yeah, Colby, don't look at me like that. Colby's like, Brooke, you can live with me.
Colby's like, oh, is it, Gina?
Yeah.
Oh, is it?
I can just see his little wheels turning over there.
No, Colby wouldn't want to live with me. Or you after our trip to Austin.
Oh my God. Poor Colby.
Only if there were other dudes that would occasionally come around so he didn't have to listen to us cackle all the time.
Colby, I really want you to come over here and tell everybody what it really was like traveling with Brooke and I. Yeah, I want you to. Yeah, get over here.
Come in here.
Get over here.
All right, everyone. I'm Colby. And let me tell you, traveling with these two ladies is it very intense. They live on a frequency that most people don't live on. And I don't live on that frequency.
You handle it pretty well.
I do my best, you know? Yeah. And let me tell you, Gina, she thinks she's so funny. But I promise you, she's not.
That's it.
Get out
of here. That's it. Get out of here.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Dua Lipa.
You know, when I play my music to people who I really respect or look up to, then I hear my songs in a different perspective.
Cardi B.
I know what it feels like when you feel like everybody turned your back and like, don't ever think it's because you did something wrong.
Harry Styles.
I feel like I'm falling more and more in love with making music each time I get to do it.
You know these artists for their songs, videos, and epic performances.
But they have so many stories beyond their fame.
That's what we're here to share with you on the Spout Podcast.
We sit down with some of the biggest names in music.
And along the way, our guests reveal stories that even their biggest fans may have never heard before.
Check out the Spout podcast to hear famous people spout off about more than what they're famous for.
And find out who's spouting off next,
wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you guys so much for listening to the podcast. We really appreciate you and want to stay connected with you. So please rate, review, and subscribe to help this podcast grow.
And if you like the podcast, get the word out.
And now back to the show.
Oh, man. I really do think...
I think one of the best was like... Because me and you, there is...
It's a lot.
No, it's just there's no limits.
Right. There's no boundaries.
We have no boundaries. Like, there is not a safer space than between you and I.
There is no safe space.
You can talk about anything. You can...
But that's like the best kind of friendship.
Yeah, we insult each other.
All the time.
To cheer each other up.
All the time. Yeah, you look really shitty this morning.
That's how we literally cheer each other up. I mean, and that doesn't work. No one else do that to me because it won't work the same.
Yeah. Please don't.
But I had to keep reminding myself. I was like, Colby, how old are you? And he's like, 24. And I'm like, oh shit, you're going to learn a lot of stuff this week.
Yeah.
Especially
he'd get real quiet and we'd be like, is you Colby okay?
Are you okay? And he's like, yeah. Yeah.
He's like, I'm fine.
And I had told him because we got there a day before Dana got there. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh man. It's going to be intense when Dee gets here because she's just like me. But like louder. It's a good old time.
It was a good time.
But yeah. Okay, enough
Colby
about us.
Colby lived through it.
Hey, Nikki.
It's okay. I was having a good time.
Yeah, okay. Well, we were deep in conversation kind of about how COVID really ruined some people's lives. For a while, or mental state, really. Mm-hmm. But you got fittest in your country. We'll just go back to that.
And you you got it again this year.
Yes.
And
you got it again this year. But when you got it and you learned, like, you're going to go to the CrossFit Games, what did that feel like?
You know, it was pretty cool. It was amazing. But I was like, I don't know. I set myself to a standard. I feel like probably any athlete does. And in the back of my head, I was like, I don't know if I'm good enough.
Right.
Like, sure. I don't want to get there and just like fail miserably.
Right. Sure.
Because I've always dreamed of like getting to the CrossFit Games, and you know, they always had that top 30. I think it was always 30 women, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't know.
At the games?
Yeah.
I think it might be 40.
I think we went over
40 or 45.
I think it was 40. Yeah.
40 or 45.
And so my goal was always to really like get and make it to the top 45 or through regionals, kind of make it there. And I actually was at the Meridian Regionals in 2018. And that was a cool experience. But then all of a sudden when I was like, I remember I started training and I was like, I need to like step up my training and get real serious real fast. Yeah. Like I was like, I'm in the right direction, but I just didn't feel like I was there yet.
Yeah.
But I think most athletes, the second they're invited to any competition, will be like, I need to get serious now or something. I mean, I was serious for the open, but I think the open training and the games training, at least for me, it looked a little bit different.
It is different.
Yeah. Cause it's the open is a little bit more endurance, and then the games all of a sudden, I mean, it's definitely endurance also, but has a lot more gymnastics and has a lot more heavier weights that you might not see in the open. Although we saw some heavyweights.
Yeah. And I'll clarify too, just in case some people are, it is different for anyone who is not at the top. It's different when, so like if you're going to a competition or like for instance, like doing the open, like me, right?
Yeah.
You have to be reasonable. You have to like be logical about where you are in your abilities, your training.
Like I knew I could get the open. I knew in the open, I was like, it's me and this other girl going neck and neck. And so I know for most, at least the top athletes, they do it once and they're done. But there's some of those events that I think I tried three times in that same weekend because I knew I could do better. But then my body was so tired that I was like, this is not happening. But I still, it was like I gave it everything I had in that weekend. And you can't do that in the games. You can't go and do the same workout three times. You would die.
Right.
But but here at the Open, because you have that ability from like Friday to Monday or whatever the days are, there, I remember even like this last year, there was that clean event. It was like a clean and jerk. And the last weight for the women, I think, was 93 kilos or 200 and something pounds. And generally like fresh, that's something I can do. But here it was like you had to do it after like a series of other.
You have to earn it.
That's
how they do it.
And you had a bajillion pistols, some box jumps, and like 20,000 other clean and jerks at lighter weights. And then you get to this heavier clean and jerk. And I remember watching some of the other girls doing this clean and jerk, and I was like, they're lifting it like it's nothing. Like it's like 70% of what they can lift. And I got 4 out of the 5 clean and jerks because I missed 2 each time that I tried the event. And I was like, doesn't matter what I'm doing, I'm going to miss 2. But I couldn't lock out like my arms and my legs. I were jello. Yeah. And I remember I even did it in the same day. On one, I did it in the morning and then at night. And then I was like, oh, I give up. Yeah. I was like, this better be good enough or I'm going to cry. Yeah. Which weirdly enough in Israel was the best score. But in overall, if you look at all my scores, it was one of my worst scores in the Open. Like in total of
the world,
all over the world.
Right.
Yeah. Which was kind of funny, but it was still, I mean, it's crazy. And then now to train for the games is, for me, it looked a little different, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the point that I was making was like, me when I went to the games in 2015, like I wasn't like I was like a games athlete. Like when it came to
and you won when the regionals,
but when it came to almost like, because you got to have some skills, some things, right? But like the Open, I wasn't technically going in like prior to 2015. I wasn't like an Open athlete, you know. And then over the years of like 2015, 2016, 2017, I didn't do the Open, but like I actually ended up being like one of the top in California and with my Open scores. I never won the Open.
Right.
In California or in the world. But like I really got a whole lot better.
Yeah.
But it was always like you just got to get through the Open, qualify, because when you get some of those other types of workouts that are now going to be, because in the Open, it's all about how can we be as inclusive as possible, but then slowly weed people out. Right. And that's why they'll have workouts where it's you get all this work done and then there's a max clean or then there's like the heavyweight. You have to earn it and then there's a time cap. And it's just because now in the beginning, you can include more people who are competing who can't even touch that weight or can't do a muscle up or can't do a pull up, but they all get to start it. And then if you make it through this much of the workout, then you get to show us your skill, or then you get to show us how much weight you can clean or snatch or clean and jerk or whatever. And so you would train in a way for to go like endurance, right?
Right.
Like I would train in a way where I was needed to be doing a lot of Metcons and running and just getting my lungs, you know, stronger. And then as soon as the Open was over, I was like, all right, now we really do more heavy stuff, skill heavy stuff.
Strong
skill,
man. Yeah, like stuff
skill
like that.
Things, stuff that's not, you know, to prepare for that. But you see these athletes that, for instance, like this year, the games, and really anyone who, like top 20, 30 that go to the CrossFit games, a lot of people have been there so many times, right? That they have been just training so much that at this point in their career, I wouldn't say, you know, Katrin or Brooke Wells or whatever, nothing changes in their training.
That's like, I mean, that's what I assume.
Yeah, certain things will change based on maybe new goals that they have with their coach. So they'll change like the roadmap to what they're working towards, but they don't have to game it.
Yeah.
There's a level of gaming that goes into prepping for a competition. And that's what I was saying. You look at it like this. Let's be logical about where you are. We can't, you know, you don't want to compare yourself to anyone else it doesn't matter what they're doing. We got to see where you are. And then that's where you are. Okay, now how can we make you as successful as possible?
Right.
Where can we change? It's like, where do you rest in this? Where do you go harder in this? Where can you push in this? Where do you need to slow down? Because if you do too much of that fast, it's going to kill you. You'll be done.
No, even at the games, it's just so much gaming. I caught myself doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember the first event they had, the legless rope climbs. Generally, I'm okay at that. Mm-hmm. But I remember pacing
And then I was looking at everyone else kind of starting to pass me a little bit. I was like, I need to go faster. And then I failed a couple of the rope climbs because I couldn't like let go and tap the thing because my grip was, I was just like slid back down. I was like, man, I should have stuck to my original plan. Like it's, and I know this because I had the, I've been in those competitions before, but all of a sudden you're on that field, mm-hmm. you know, that field that you've been dreaming about being.
Right.
I'm like, I need to be faster.
Yeah.
And so that was crazy because that, those couple fails that I had really bumped me down in that first, like they cut, they had crazy cuts in the first couple events. And I was like able to get through the first one, but because I had made some mistakes and like didn't time it well, then on that second event, even though I did much, much better, I couldn't make up that distance to get, mm-hmm. get through another cut, which was it was an amazing experience, but it was so crazy. Like one little mistake of like, hey, I should go this much faster. I ended up caught, like that's the fine line between, can I push my pace and you know, will I fail this rep? And I think that's what a lot, that line that a lot of people play with. And in that specific event, I didn't do a good job mentally planning for that.
Yeah.
And that's what training's for, is because you learn what you can do.
Yeah.
You have to learn at what point will you fail.
Right.
And that's just from practice. That's like from pushing yourself to a point of failure.
Exactly.
And then learning how to like toe the line, like just like in that threshold training, right? So you're just like kind of like toeing the line of like, pushing a little too hard or going a little bit too slow. You know, people do a lot of like pace work, breathing work, a lot of stuff on with like rowing or running, learning how fast you can recover, learning through which movements you can recover.
So I actually knew much time it took me to recover from,
and then
the
really
climb.
Not looking,
but then you
around.
Ignored it,
and I ignored it. Yeah. And then the second I missed twice, I looked at the clock, I timed out the time, and then I like made the
like,
next
okay.
one. I was like, dang, I should have just done that from the beginning.
Right. But you panic because you see people going.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And the crazy thing is I knew what to do, too. And I still made that mistake.
Well, and that
there's next
that
year.
That happens, man. Yeah. It happens. You're under under so much pressure. You're stressed. There's a clock. You know, it's so quick to make a decision. And the second you make it, you go with that.
Yeah.
And then you learn from that. It's the only thing you can do. Yeah. No, this is actually, it's not funny. Like when I compete. And I used to say this to my coach. Like, I remember doing, I was in Salt Lake. We were doing a training camp. And we were all doing this workout. And I put my headphones in. Because Nick would come over. And, like, he would say stuff to me like this. You know, he'd almost, like, create a story in my for me. Like, I'd be doing this workout. And he'd be, like, you know, trying to create this, like, visual of, like, so-and-so's right next
to
you, and they're going to pass you. And I put my headphones in because this is what I believe. And, like, some people, that might be something that can work for their advantage. Like, if there is someone coming, like, they can push harder. But I am already pushing as hard as I can, knowing what I can do and what I shouldn't do. And I told him, I was like, there is no amount of you letting like me thinking that someone's about to beat me, that all of a sudden I'm just gonna be like, I'm just gonna find another gear. If I'm already pushing it that hard, I'm like, the feeling of like I'm losing, I'm like, that doesn't motivate me. I'm like, I'm gonna put my headphones in, Nick, and I'm gonna push hard, and I'm gonna make sure it hurts, and we'll talk about it after.
So stop talking to me.
Because you also don't know what's next. Like, say you're in the middle of that event and someone's just kind of starting to pass you. You never know, because they could burn out in front of you. And because you stuck to your plan, you can pass them again. But if it's like the last final sprint of the workout, I could see where you could get that like little extra push.
Right.
But in the middle, there's no way.
It's just like letting your mind go somewhere. Either it's like you're letting someone make you change your plan.
Yeah.
When they're not, you're just watching them, right? Or I don't remember what year it was, 2014 maybe? Annie Thor's daughter, love her. She also just had a baby, so cute. There were a few events that she started her celebration too early before she crossed a line and she got passed.
In like
two or three events, I feel like.
Really?
Like she was going to finish first.
Uh-huh.
I remember one on the field. On the soccer field, she was running to finish and she kind of like threw her arms up to like celebrate, And she got passed.
Oh, snap.
And it was like, that's just, that's an example of like.
Yeah, you don't want to do gotta, anything like, until finish. You cross that line.
Right. You know, like, and she learned her lesson. And a lot of people learned it too. Like yeah. by like watching what happens when you let that, when you let yourself do that. Like, you're not done yet. Mm-hmm. You know, but I remember that was pretty devastating.
That would it
was,
suck.
She was clearly winning. But there can always be someone a second behind you.
Right.
You know? And I think you brought this up, Gina. That's interesting is like, you know, because there was only, how many athletes competed at the games this year? Five?
Five, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, I don't even know.
No, but just the idea of, like you said, or, you know, how it is when you're competing and the level of competition is insane. So people aren't separated by like, I mean, there are people separated by like huge differences or, right. you know,
but levels of difference. Separated by like it's milliseconds.
Like, it's mm-hmm. seconds. It's like making a tiny mistake. It's like tripping. Points. It's, you know, whatever. And when there's so many people on the leaderboard and you dropped down a little bit, right? And you went into the next event and you did really good. But how many people under you that are really close to you too, like if they just happen to do a little bit better than you,
right.
it's all those points that are going to push you down.
Yeah.
Versus like only five people competing. You're really all going to stay like, you know, it's, I mean, obviously kinda it's not, you're not going to see like a huge difference because there's only five people on the
right.
leaderboard.
Right.
But it just isn't as, it's not as drastic.
No, there's a huge difference because in the games when you have 40 people and that 40th person all of a sudden, I don't know, beats number one in mm-hmm, some specific mm-hmm. event, like it throws off the point system a little bit. But when you have five, you know, each win is like, you know, you'll probably be separated by 30-point gaps. And if someone all of a sudden wins, you won't see that. I mean, you didn't really see that much change in the leaderboard that they had even this year.
No, Tia and Matt are, they're not human.
They're robots. They're robots insane. For sure.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it's crazy. And it's crazy too because, you know, there's crazy stuff that can happen on a big leaderboard. Like if you're really close to one thing, but then if this person down here, and they can, because I know what their skill is, and like this is their event. If they can take this event and beats these three people, I take second place. You know, it's like there's crazy stuff that happens with the leaderboard. And it's just,
I've always been confused by it.
It all comes,
honestly.
I mean, it's just, it's a point system.
Right.
Yeah.
And like if someone's in, let's say someone in 10th place is like 100 points away from, you know, the second, I don't know, second place. But if that person in second place or first place takes like second to last in that event,
right?
That person, like there's enough people that beat that person. Mm-hmm. It can bump them down a ton and push you to the top
right.
because it's like a point system, which that right there is like, it's exciting, but also like terrifying.
Right.
Depends on what side of the screen you're on.
Yeah.
Like if you're watching or if you're competing. Yeah.
Well, I remember being there watching you. And every single time something would happen, I'd go, well, what does that mean? What does that mean? And I just look at everybody else. And I just remember like one of your old coaches or something would have to keep explaining it to me. Okay, well, I think it's this. I think she's right here. And I'm like, I still don't get it. I don't understand it.
Neither did I.
Yeah.
But I think what was cool at the games, at least that year, was I really think the ceremony that they had with all the flags, that was a cool experience. And to see all these kind of different countries and all these different people kind of representing pretty much like everywhere around the world. Mm-hmm. And that was a pretty cool experience. That is very cool.
And it's really amazing for those countries and, you know, places that are very new.
Yeah.
To have someone who can come and bring that back.
Right.
Is really cool for the community. And that's really just going to like get things growing, I think, even faster.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people might not have liked that kind of format with all the cuts.
Well, because didn't it feel like a lot of people who had traveled so far, right? You have all these people that have traveled so far and then they're done after the first day.
Did everyone get tickets?
Right, but do you feel like thrilled
that's
to
what
be
I
a part
like.
Of it?
I mean, I didn't compete that year.
Yeah.
I haven't competed.
Wait, what part? I missed that.
We got tickets. Like we got one free pass to the day around or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But like to the Coliseum, we would have to buy tickets.
They had to buy tickets.
But then like the day of the games, they sent an email saying like, you can have seats to like these specific like, I guess the whatever was left
so
over.
So if there was spots left over.
Oh.
But if you got to the games, you had already bought your tickets by then. But, and so I remember that was kind of a bummer because it's like on top of my flight.
Right.
On top of
it's
my
expensive.
Stay. Yeah. If my mom, and for me to fly from Israel, especially during summertime, was more expensive. But I mean, to me, it was worth it. I was like, look, this is a once in a lifetime, at least that I know now, experience. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know when I'll come here again or if I will make it again. And so I was like, it's worth it. And luckily, the people in Israel were amazing. I did like a donation
event?
Kind of. Yeah, there we go. Cool. I was like, I forget what it's called. And
they
so
did an event
actually,
for you
yeah,
to
I
help.
I raised a ton mm-hmm. of money to kind of help me just so I didn't have to like, you know, fork out all the money for
right.
that. But still, I flew. Technically, I flew to compete for a day. Which still was, again, such an awesome
sure.
experience. And it was so fun to even just watch the rest, you know, of the weekend. But yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah,
yeah.
Very cool. Was are there rules about whether for you to compete as for Israel, but are you a citizen?
Yeah.
How does that work?
So I'm a dual citizen.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Because my parents are both from there.
Okay.
And then, so I kind of had, I don't know what it's called, like rights to be a citizen,
okay.
I guess. And then I was living there. So I had to show proof of like ID.
Oh, okay. You're all, this is my ID.
Yeah.
It says
pretty
Israel.
It says Israel.
It says Israel.
I think that's what every, because weirdly enough, I do live in Israel, but I met a lot of people at the games that didn't live where they were saying they were competing from.
Oh.
Like
interesting.
They were like, oh, we're dual citizens. We have an ID from there, but we live wherever they live. And so it was kind of funny. I was like, oh, okay, interesting.
Yeah, that is.
That would be like me living in America and competing for Israel.
Right. That, yeah. Well, that's what I was wondering is how long did you have to be there to be considered? But if you
there was no rule for that.
Oh, okay.
It's a loophole.
It's a loophole.
I mean, yeah. A loophole.
I'm going to go find some country like super teeny tiny and I'm going to go to the games.
Well, people did that. People
kidding.
Did that because the
I
old,
probably
the
still
old,
wouldn't make
the
it.
The old rule was like for regionals, like if for you, so if you wanted to, you could, you had to do the open. So if you wanted to compete in a different region, you had to be living there. Like starting January, basically it was like all
but
through
for
the
teams,
open.
Not for individual.
No, I think
no,
for individual.
For individual.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, I remember this.
If I was here and I wanted to do the Open in Utah, I would basically just have to move there and live there through the entire Open. And then...
because some regions
yeah,
are harder
January.
Than others.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It would be... So people would want to go to a different region.
And I'd have to live there.
Where
for
there's
teams,
less competition.
For teams, you had to live... You had to be training in that area 50... I think it was 50%
of the time. Yeah.
So you had a lot of people who were making super teams... But they would just travel and
right.
they would do that. They'd make the drive or they would, you know, whatever to compete like that. But I do think that I'm not, this might piss people off. And I'm going to say this before I say it, because it's a thought that I have, not necessarily an opinion because I haven't fully thought about it, but I'm going to say it anyways. The idea.
That's always a good idea.
The idea that people are competing for their country but they don't live there. I don't necessarily like that. Because I yeah. agree with it. Like they should have the opportunity, but it's almost like if we're trying to create awareness and opportunity in those countries, like you got to be there.
Right.
Right.
Because that's the value. The value is you being there and bringing that home, you know? And like and bringing some like
yeah, if you live in Denmark but you won for Israel and you're going to take the thing back to Denmark? Or I don't know.
I mean,
you know
that was
what I mean?
A bad
like,
example because
it
like should have been like if you live
I don't
in
know.
New
I was
York
just thinking,
City.
I was Denmark came to mind because of that guy that rode in.
That's funny.
Brooke got a date proposal through our email from a guy from Denmark.
Oh
so,
my gosh, how funny!
I don't know. That's why I thought of it.
It's no, not, but it's so not, I have been living in Israel. Weirdly enough, too, most of my CrossFit career has been
yeah,
in Israel.
Yeah, but that's
right.
what I mean.
Right.
And
but
you,
no, that's
you
what we're saying.
That. That's what I'm saying.
And I think what was that, for me, actually, what was cool was so I think a lot of people in Israel do know me because of that now.
Right.
And so it was cool to come home.
Yeah.
And
like a local hero.
To share it with them.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there was definitely a bunch of people even here that was like, whoa, that's so cool. Like, congratulations. Yeah. Even you, I think you were like, cherish every moment.
Yeah.
I did.
No, it's awesome. So, very cool.
But no, that was definitely, it was cool to go back to them and have that kind of experience. Like, there was so many people screenshotting when like we were carrying the flags, and there was so many messages. And so that was cool.
Yeah.
And I think if I was in America competing for Israel, I don't think I would have had
I wouldn't have known anyone. Right. Yeah. You're like,
I mean, maybe I would have known from like the couple times that I traveled there, but no one would really have been like, oh, she's representing Israel. Like,
who is it? Who is that?
Exactly. But this time it was like people knew. And so I think that's the cool part.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is really knowing that community that you're going back to.
Well, like, this is the first time I've heard that there are people that don't actually, you know, were there that were like, oh no, I don't live there. I have dual citizenship. This is the first time
I think it's a loophole.
I just think it kind of bums me out a little bit, because one thing that because when they first were doing Finish in Your Country, I was like, that's ridiculous, because I know in Wisconsin, at that time of year, it's already so hard to get hotels.
Yeah.
Now you have
how many
people coming. You're going to show them up and do a cut like that? Day one, you're giving this opportunity to people all over. I know we pay our own way. We pay an entry fee to go to the CrossFit game. So it's like, they're going to pay to get there, to stay. And then you're going to cut them and you're not going to give them tickets. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that was crazy.
Like, come on now. It's because they get to be there. I mean, I was like, I get that it's an amazing opportunity. And so then thinking about, okay, well, what that will mean for their communities in a lot of these more like developing CrossFit areas, you know, it's not as big, it's growing and it can grow really fast. That's going to be able to bring just so much, like
pride,
but it's like,
but that's still a good chunk of money that you're, you're taking.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean?
Not taking, but like
that you're
obviously
paying.
Paying. Yeah.
So it was really more like, that was how I felt better about it. Cause at first I was like, I would feel so bad for like a bunch of people that they're going to get cut, because it has to, because there's so many people starting out. I get why they have to do it.
Cut after the first event, I would have been a little bummed, because I was like, I know I can do better. But I think the fact that I was able to last a whole day, I was like, okay, that was cool.
Right.
I really got, like, one event I did bad. But, I mean, not bad, but
well,
it's
a learning experience.
Yeah, and then the second event, I was like, I really felt like I showed what I could do there at least. So
that's awesome. Well, congratulations. Okay. It's very cool.
If you're listening to this and you are a competitor that was fittest in your country and you don't actually live there ever, I feel like you should like at least like visit, like create, like, like visit to
book a trip,
like visit to an extent that like,
maybe not right now because of Corona,
or be a part of, or be right. Exactly. I know. Sorry. Not in these times, but be a part of that community.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Which would again mean
you should be
visit.
A part of that community. Yes.
Just because a big purpose of doing that is to
raise awareness,
is to to like build the community and help be stronger and include in other countries. But if you actually don't live there, then, you know, opportunity missed.
Weirdly enough, though, I actually really liked the regionals, because at least in Israel, I think I noticed that year when they made that change, a lot of the girls didn't end up signing up for the competition because they were like, I mean, I don't mean to sound cocky when I say this.
Yeah.
I know people have told me this, is like, they were like, we can't compete with, you know, Nikki and the other girl in Israel. Like, we're just going to not sign up and we're going to do it for fun. And I was like, but the whole point is to sign up.
Right.
Like, you never know. You could beat me on an event. You could beat her on an event. You never know.
Right.
Like, just like we said with the leaderboard, there can be a total difference. But because when we had the regionals, everyone would sign up because it was like, you could still make.
It was still a show.
Yeah, it was still a show. And you could have that top. You could. It didn't matter if they beat me or if I beat them. If we both made it into that top 30 cut in, you know, the Africa or whatever region, blanking right now, on the Meridian region, we would both make it to the regionals. But here, all of a sudden, when it was like the top person only gets the invite or something, I saw a lot of girls lose motivation and like, two people
right
but it's
have crazy
it's understandable why
Yeah, because of course. To compete in CrossFit, it's not just a thing you do occasionally.
Right.
It's a full-time job that most people are self-funding. It's extracurricular. You have to remember that. This is not like, it's like with kids and stuff, it's like, you have to remember, like, this is extracurricular.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and you, this is like, it's just fitness. Like, people work out because they want to and they make time for it. So if you want to compete at it and you're someone who still has to like take care of yourself and pay your bills, then you have a job and you got to train. And it's like so much mental work and you got to do your diet. It's so much and you put all this in. And so the idea of and being reasonable, being logical about your chances of going, and then maybe to think like, what's it going to take me to potentially, possibly, maybe get this one spot out of all of Israel?
Right.
Is it worth it for my schedule, for my time, for my family, for my, and you have to, you think about that. And that's why I loved the regionals, because it was a small, it was a smaller version of like
of the games,
the games yeah. for people. It definitely, I feel like in all the different areas, we'll stop this really soon.
Yeah.
In all the different areas, it just gave more people the reason to have that extracurricular. Yeah. Maybe they weren't going to train in a way, maybe they would never go to the CrossFit games, but it still brought so much fun, excitement, opportunity. And it was just an event that, through like with the community, just brought people together. And so to eliminate that, I understand why they did.
Yeah.
You know, it was basically just spending tons and tons of money to put these on. And instead they basically created the sanctioned event. So you had people that paid to put that on,
right.
put that event on.
No,
put
so that part's on. Cool, but I definitely, like for me at least, I remember 2 years ago, I was like, wow, it's kind of a bummer not to see some of these girls' names on that list anymore.
Right.
Because, you know, it would also push you to see like, hey, can I beat?
Right. Because
there's always that girl that's more aerobic or the girl that's stronger. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously CrossFit is being a little bit of everything, but you always have those, you know,
sure.
those guys that are good at specific things that
yeah.
you're like, I want to see
yeah,
that.
You can, yeah,
like,
right.
you can like see
right.
where you're at.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Well,
it's over. We're over.
I know. Remember, I was like, we're not going to do a long one. Thanks for being in town and texting me.
Yeah.
It was so great. Nikki,
thanks for having
Nikki
me.
Nikki texted yeah. me on like Friday.
You guys were just supposed to go to coffee and then we saw Nikki at the gym and said, hey, you want to be on the podcast?
Yeah. Like Thursday or Friday.
And she was like, I'm coming to the gym. Yeah. I was like, I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm already here.
Yeah, so great. She texted me. Well, she was texting me and I was like, hey, I'm going to be moving all weekend, but maybe we could do coffee on Monday. And she goes, okay, I'll text you on Sunday. And I was like, perfect.
Yes, please remind me.
Please
I need reminding
me.
Right
I
now.
I was like, I can help you with moving.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She did. She said it. And then I told her this morning.
She
was
taking
like,
her up on it.
Well, I told her this
She's
morning.
She's stronger.
She is stronger than you.
I know.
I don't know if I'm as entertaining.
Oh, well. I don't know.
No, I think you're pretty entertaining.
Or annoying. All right. Well, you guys, thank you, Nikki, for being here. Do you want to tell everybody how they can find you?
Yeah. Where can they find you?
Oh.
On Instagram?
On Instagram.
Yeah. At
Nikki _ Patel.
Maybe spell it.
N-I-K-K-I.
Oh. Yeah. _ P-E-T-T-E-L.
Perfect. Go check her out,
yeah,
guys.
Check her out. Thank you for listening. Remember to
rate, review, subscribe, 5-star rating, 5-star warning.
And we will talk to see
you guys
next time.
Next time. Hey.
Bye.
Hey.
I know I'm like you guys pointed. Hey.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.